everybody. It's Roger and James here, firmly this Kingdom podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about what video games we've been playing lately, and primarily from my point of view, about really kind of getting ready for Kingdom Hearts 3.
You just want to brag.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
Go do it.
Not only have I completed Kingdom Hearts 2 this year, I completed Kingdom Hearts 1 this year as well. So I've actually played through both games. I will say on easy because I just wanted to get through them. But it's still like, I mean, that must have been what, 60 hours between the two of them. It was quite nice when the credits came down on Kingdom Hearts 2, and I was just like, yeah, I've done the two big ones before Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out. I've completely played them in the wrong orders, but things made a little bit more sense. Not a lot, but a little bit more. I at least feel like I could sit here and go, right, Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out soon, and I actually now feel like I have completed Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts 2, 2.8. I'm on to the final boss of Dream Drop Distance. I am going to try and jump back into that the next couple of days to try and get it done before Spider-Man comes, because I feel like my reflex skills for Kingdom Hearts is probably at its best right at this moment of having just finished 2. And I've played other bits and pieces and stuff. I just feel like it feels very, because it was a kind of a game that it's been on my back catalogue since the remix versions come out. And to actually sit there and go, right, there's no new games out in August. I am going to crack on and get Kingdom Hearts 2 knocked out. And I really enjoy playing it. Once I started getting to the Disney worlds and started going through them all, and each night going through a different world, I really was just really enjoying that thing of jumping. Because Kingdom Hearts 2 was so much better than Kingdom Hearts 1 for the movement, the gummy ship stuff. Everything was so much better in the second one than the first one.
And I don't know yet, because I haven't finished either of them. I got distracted. Well, not distracted, but I got a review code for Dragon Quest XI.
Yeah.
And as we've mentioned in the past, I am a huge traditional Japanese role-playing game fan. I've been playing Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest since they were on the Nintendo. And to get a chance to play through XI has been fantastic. I've already put in... I've only had the code since Thursday last week, so... Mm. At the time of this recording, that's only 4 days, give or take.
Yeah.
And I've already put about 30 hours into it.
Yeah.
So it helps that it's a holiday weekend, so yeah. I haven't felt like particularly pressed to do anything important and all that. But I've been having a blast with that. And Roger, I know it's not your thing. Maybe you're kind of starting to sneak in there, thanks to your board gaming, your X-Wing or modding or whatever, whichever one it is. But I realize JRPG is not your thing. But for me, this is like a perfect nostalgia trip. I am just...
But isn't Kingdom Hearts a JRPG?
No, it's not. I mean...
It's a Japanese role-playing game.
Technically, yes. And technically, say, Final Fantasy XV is a JRPG. However, when we say traditional JRPG, we're talking about the party of 3 to 5 characters doing turn-based combat with a heavy emphasis on story. You know, you've got your meters, your HP, MP, equipment. You know, you'll go to the next town and the monsters will have conveniently become stronger and you'll have new weapons available to you, etc.
Yeah, that's Kingdom Hearts.
But the combat system is turn-based. Yeah. And there's a heavy emphasis on that style of combat. And so, yeah, Kingdom Hearts 1, 2, probably 3,
I think
Final Fantasy 15, 13, etc. Yeah, there was one that was much closer to, I think it was one of the Game Boy Advance games, maybe with the cards. But even that was still active combat. If you didn't react in time, you would miss your opportunity. Whereas this, you have all the time in the world to pick your attacks, your magic spells, whatever it is you want to do, strategize. It's more strategy than action. So
I think with the Kingdom Hearts stuff, it's much more, I prefer the action side of things.
And I love that in the Kingdom Hearts games too, and I enjoy that in other games like the Star Ocean series as well, which has an active combat system, and it's all about expectations and you know, what you're playing a game for. Mm-hmm. And Dragon Quest, now they've got the Dragon Quest Heroes games, which are like the Dynasty Warriors style, yeah, or the Hyrule Warriors style if you did the Zelda one. But it's nice to go and be like, all right, Dragon Quest XI, if the game I had played before this was Dragon Quest III or IV, which were Nintendo and Super Nintendo era games, I could jump into Dragon Quest XI. And aside from, you know, refinements that have been made over 20 years to that style of game, it's still functionally the same style of game. As opposed to, say, Final Fantasy, where Final Fantasy III and Final Fantasy XV are completely different styles of game.
I only literally played like 20 minutes of Kingdom of Final Fantasy 15 last year, and it was like, and to me, I was like, it kind of feels like Kingdom Hearts, but not as fun, kind of. But no, it was all the bits from the Kingdom Hearts stuff that I don't like, all the Final Fantasy right. stuff. It was just like, yeah, it's just that kind of weird thing of, I think, of, you know, different kinds of games, and, you know, like with the Kingdom Hearts are jumping in, and every time you get the new blade and upgrading and doing your AP and upgrading this character and putting, you know, it's a bit annoying. I'd rather just level up and get powerful and or just stay as you are, kind of thing. But it was, I'm just trying to think of, like, is that, it feels to me like I've had like the Kingdom Hearts games on that thing of I need to finish them. It feels like, I mean, when did those remixes come out on the PS4? They were, what?
It's been more than a year now. It's
been over a year, and also, I actually brought those remixes on the PS3 like 2 years ago, and the number 2.5 is still in the cellophane, because it's always been this thing of, I really need to get there one day. I need to finish that game. And it really took that thing of literally sitting there in like July and August when there was not really a lot of new stuff out. And I'm going, I have to, if I don't do this now, once we hit September, that's me done. You know, we got Spider-Man, Assassin's Creed, WWE, Super Smash Bros., Hitman, Red Dead Redemption. That's me done till Christmas. Tomb Raider. You know, that's right up to, it's like, I haven't got time for a 30-40 hour Japanese game. So I feel like I'm ready for Kingdom Hearts 3 now. I'm actually, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm really hoping that they've got the demo at the EGX so I can actually go play the Kingdom Hearts 3. That's the main thing I'm focusing on up there. But I definitely feel I'm quite a high with Kingdom Hearts. And it makes a little bit more sense. I've kind of played through the two main stories. And I've played through lots of the three or four of the other games as well. But now I feel like, I mean, I worked out, I must have easily put in at least 100 hours now into different Kingdom Hearts games. So
easily.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm at a point now where it's like, yeah, okay, I no longer feel like a complete noob. No, I have actually put some time in now. I couldn't tell you any of the names of the characters, but there we go.
Yeah, but have you read the 300 pages of understanding the games that the fans have put together to make sense of the nonsensical story?
Yeah, it's things just happen in that game that it's like, Riku is now older. Okay, because he got consumed by darkness. And now he's young again. I'm like, but he's got longer hair than he had before. I'm like, what? And it's like, okay. It's whatever, just kind of, it's like, Ansem's not Ansem, but he's now this person, but he's the shadow of a nobody. It's like, oh, look, Mulan. That's basically that kind of...
Yeah. And whether or not the story is any good or makes any sense at all, the games are a lot of fun. I mean, yeah. that's going to be the more important part in the end anyway. So.
It definitely, I mean, like the Lion King stages, they were great fun. You know, it's a completely bonkers of what you're doing, but, you know, it's the kind of thing, like, I was playing it and going, this is like the closest to a decent like Lion King game we've had in like 20 years. This game came out 15 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever it was. But it's that thing of, like, you jump between the world, and it's felt so... And I've, having played through Dream Drop Distance recently, when that got re-released as well, it does feel, you know, I love the fact of how... And I can really feel myself now. I feel like I am so much more looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 3 now, because I feel like I've had that lifted for me. So now I can just enjoy the next one without kind of feeling like I need to go back and see stuff. I feel like I'm, it's kind of, it was a, such a relief when those credits came down. I'm like, oh, finally. Especially with 15 bosses on a trot, you're like, yeah, once I've been so bad, it was nearly 1 o'clock in the morning. I started at, I got, it's like, I'll just start the final boss zone. Three hours later, I'm still, I need to go to bed. I got work in the
morning. I'll have to keep that one in mind. Although I have to admit, you know, for me, Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, I'm definitely interested in playing through, but based on what I know and can comprehend of the story, I'm actually far more interested in Aqua's story and her games instead. And we know she's appearing in 3, so I don't know. I'm kind of at the point where, given the upcoming releases, you know, we'll be talking about Spider-Man next week, I'm sure, and all that, but... I don't think I've got time to go through all of them, and I might instead focus on, you know, the Aqua games.
Yeah, you know, that Birth by Sleep. I mean, I could in theory start Birth by Sleep and go through that on the remix versions, but I'm much more inclined to actually just replay 0.2 again. And
well, yeah, and that's only two or three hours. Yeah,
because I feel like I've got a couple of nights free this week before Spider-Man hits on Friday, and then that's me done. Then I feel like this year I've had a really weird year. I've actually finished quite a few games, but I've actually, you know, for me to finish Kingdom Hearts 1, Kingdom Hearts 2, and The Last of Us, and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, and Kirby's Allies, and a few other games here and there, and it feels like I've had a bit of a, like, and then God of War and stuff like that, but I've actually feel like I've finished off quite a few major titles this year of actually finishing them and feeling kind of like, oh, that's good, that's... some big, like long-standing games to have actually completed. It feels quite nice with that.
Yeah, and in theory, if Spider-Man is any good, and early reviews are indicating that it is, that'll be another big one to knock off the list. If they say the 20 hours is accurate, I see you're playing with wires. Hopefully, everything's.
Yeah. No, I just realized I hadn't actually plugged in the electricity, so I've been running on battery. Yeah, it's like, why is the screen gone dark? But no, it's just this kind of thing of, I think with this big run of games coming out, I mean, we got the Spider-Man is going to be getting the DLC. There's 3 different packs for that. That's going to keep us going October, November, December. So actually, it's like, oh, we've actually got stuff. There's just so many good games coming out this year. It's that thing of like that lull. Everyone's got a back catalogue that they've been wanting to finish. And it, you know, it's always that feeling of nice when you actually finish something.
Oh, yeah. And since we've got multiple systems and ways to play games, sometimes you're like, all right, I'm playing this game, but I'm playing the PlayStation version. I've got the Xbox and I've got the Switch, or I've got the PC or whatever people are playing on. It's like, and we just get torn in so many directions. So, yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. It is nice to finish something. I am looking forward to finishing Dragon Quest. I'm hoping to finish it before Spider-Man, but honestly, I'm probably only halfway done with the game at this point, so we'll see.
Yeah.
So many. And Lord knows I've got plenty of games in my backlog that I need to get to.
I was looking at, like, it's like, I mean, I thought something. I could just fire up Lego Star Wars Clone Wars because that's on Xbox Games Pass, and I'm actually a bit like, I should play it, but I really am. I need a Lego break, and I'm actually just, I don't know if I can go back and do a 10-year-old Lego game right now after doing Incredibles, because Incredibles just didn't bite me, and I'm just like, now I think I need to leave Lego alone for a while, and I was just like.
I think we could probably still talk about it at some point if we wanted to, but I played it back when it came out, but a couple of months after it came out. So it's definitely got the old style, and I think it might be difficult going back to that because a lot of the stuff that we are used to isn't there yet. But at the same time, a lot of the little complexities that they added to it, which don't necessarily enhance the game, they just make it kind of a little more advanced, aren't there as well. And in many ways, I think that the older LEGO games are tend to be more accessible, which is kind of interesting.
It's definitely good. I mean, it's like you look on Game Pass as well. There's so many different games on there to try out. And I was there thinking, oh, you got like The Vision, and there's a few ones, and it's like Knights of the Old Republic is on Game Pass as well. I never played that game, but I'm sitting there now going, I don't know if I can do a 15-year-old Star Wars game.
That's going to take you between 60 and 80 hours to beat.
It's just like, I just can't justify it. And this is like, no, but, so, you know, we got Spider-Man. So that's the next week will definitely be, that's going to be thoughts on that one. Are you going to get that on Friday?
I'm planning on getting it on Friday. I'm going to wait for a couple of reviews, but so far the leaked reviews and the early impressions have all been pretty positive. So I'm 99.9% sure I'm going to pick up Spider-Man on Friday.
Yeah, I need to do my digital pre-order this week to get it downloaded for Friday. It's the kind of thing of like with digital pre-orders, it's like, if I have to pay for it instantly, why do I need, and you're not going to run out of stock. I might as well just pre-order it a few days before and let it download. Now, there's no point in me giving you my money like 3-4 weeks ago.
There's really no reason to pre-order pretty much anything these days. Now, preloading is definitely a good thing, but you know, like you said, you can still do that a couple of days beforehand. You can at least get initial impressions from your viewers or whatever. Unless you are getting like the super special physical edition that's got like the statue and the steelbook and all the art pieces and whatnot. Those tend to go, you know, limited quantities and they go pretty fast. I can't remember the last time I actually heard of a game physically disappearing off of shelves. I think Octopath Traveler on the Switch came out earlier this year, another Japanese RPG style. I gather that in certain places it was hard to get a physical copy of it, but even then, you know, it's not like critical shortages.
I did kind of have that with the Bayonetta and Twin Pack, because I was going to buy it, and I think I was in a store and I looked for it and they didn't have it, and so I didn't buy it. And it was that kind of thing that was like I was like, well, I might as well buy it, but then something else came out, so I didn't bother playing that one. But rarely. It's like, you know Spider-Man is going to be everywhere. I think the concept of pre-ordering, they give you these pre-order bonus because they want to make sure that, but yeah, I mean, I'm just going to, I did feel like, oh, sorry, I'm just going to buy it digital
Pre-ordering is very, very good for the companies, EA and Sony and all that. They love pre-ordering because it's guaranteed sales. It's money they've already got in their pocket without even giving you anything. But it's not good for consumers. And
no.
It's frustrating.
Spider-Man's a bit of an odd one because what Sony have been doing is their big core titles like God of War, and there's not a lot of difference between the price. You know, Spider-Man, I think, is like 48 quid physical or 50 digital. Whereas, like, Hitman, for example, at the minute is $39.99 physical or £55 digital. And that's like, that's too big a difference between physical, and that's too big a jump for me. If it's like 5 quid in it, and I'm thinking, well, Spider-Man, I got the DLC and all the rest of it coming up, so I know I'm going to be buying into it. But it's like, sometimes there's that line. If I was looking at the WWE version, and it's like, well, it's 80, 90 quid for the digital deluxe version, or like 30 or £42 for the physical, plus the DLC and all the rest of it. It's like, and then I went, I really lazy thought, yeah, but then I'm gonna have to keep finding the disc.
Right.
I have to get off the chair and find it.
Even with that, there is absolutely no reason why the suggested price should be higher on digital than physical. I can understand why over time the physical will drop price faster than the digital, because retailers have to clear out their stock and inventory and all that stuff. But on launch day, there is absolutely no reason there should be a price difference between physical and digital, minus something like the Best Buy Game Club Pass, which is going away, or the Amazon Prime pre-order, which is going away.
We never really got the same one, but every time I used it, it never hit the delivery date, and I ended up cancelling the order. So I stopped using Amazon for pre-orders on games a while ago because quite a few times they let me down. Of just like, I had a, like the day before, it's going, It's like, I remember messaging going, well, where's, it hasn't been dispatched yet. Oh, we're still waiting for stock allocations. Like, no, it's coming out tomorrow. You're done. I cancel the order. It's like, if you've not sent it to me the day before, and I'm not, and you don't even know if you're getting the stock in, you've lost it. I'm not bothering with you anymore. Because it's, so yeah, we've got a little bit of a different system. I do think that, especially for you guys, the Gamers Club and the Amazon Prime deals, we've not really had them, but you are going to just see the price of games creeping up to nearer digital prices, because then I think they maybe got to that point and hold on, we can't keep giving you 20% off indefinitely because the games have to go up in price, and this is their way of doing it.
Well, they're going to, it's going to affect their bottom line one way or another. I'm sure they would have done it years ago if they could have, because, you know, they don't want to give consumers discounts. And the reason to give consumers discounts is to get them into your store. And Best Buy has now decided, well, a couple months ago, decided that the advantage that they had of getting people into their store with the GCU was no longer worth it. And and Amazon, we knew they wanted to get rid of it. And now that the Gamers Club is gone, they have no reason to offer competitive pre-order pricing. So it was just a matter of time with that.
Yeah, but no, it's gonna be interesting. We're about to hit the run. So obviously next week we'll be talking about Spider-Man. But yeah, so we've got a few days now just to kind of try and clear out a few things off of our back catalogue before that one arrives. But let us know what you guys are playing at home. Get in touch with us on the comments below or on social media. You can follow, like, and subscribe on all the different platforms. James, where can they find you?
Find me, heroiclegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.